All right. So let's be official about it. This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 134B. We're here discussing world centers. They are cities which have rays in their own right, but as world centers, they distribute certain rays in a larger sense, a sense larger than the rays they distribute for their nations. And we've been discussing Geneva, London, New York, Darjeeling, and Tokyo, and the contributions they make to humanity or could make, and the difficulties they can present. One of them especially, Tokyo at the time, presenting a considerable difficulty with its Ray 1 quality of energy, working through the lower materialistic aspect of that ray, and its warlike and fanatical nature correlating very much with the rays of its country. Just the reverse, as a matter of fact. Tokyo with the sixth ray soul and fourth ray personality fitting exactly with the rays of Italy, interestingly enough. And Japan with the fourth ray soul and sixth ray personality. So we can see how much conflict there could be with those two rays. Mercury distributing the fourth ray is called sometimes the star of conflict. And we know that wherever the sixth ray is found, there will always be, at least at this stage of development, under the Martian impulse, the conflict of idealisms. I would here point out that in these interrelations is no inevitable fate or unavoidable destiny. Obviously, just as the individual can work with energy in a positive or negative manner, so can the nations. The aim of the individual disciple is to handle the forces which play through him in such a manner that only constructive good can eventuate. He can misuse the energy or employ it for soul ends, and so it is with nations and races. The fate of the nations lies in the hands of its leaders usually, and also I suppose the capital cities are very important in that respect. So these leaders, they marshal the nation's forces, focus the national intent, if intuitive enough, and develop the characteristics of the people, leaving in fact behind them the memory of symbols of national intent, ideals, or corruption. The leadership is so important. Leaders oftentimes are on the first ray. Secondary ray is important, I suppose, the monadic ray. It would be hard to think of Hitler as having a second-ray monadic ray with his first-ray soul. Very hard indeed. But not so hard when you think of Franklin Roosevelt with his first-ray personality and first-ray soul, and I believe second-ray personality and second-ray monad, just like Lincoln. Maybe Roosevelt had more strategy, though Lincoln had a great deal of it. And look at Churchill as the leader of England and, in a way, Europe, with his first-ray soul, probably fourth-ray personality, as it was much more troubled and colorful and artistic than that of Roosevelt, but still the first-ray soul. And hard to say what the monadic ray might be. Hard to say, although Churchill was brilliant, a brilliant writer, and received awards. Is it called the Pulitzer Prize? I'm not sure, but for writing a six-volume set called The History of the English-Speaking People after the war. Obviously a highly developed soul. So Churchill focused the courage, the idealism, the Taurean resistance of the English, of those in the Commonwealth and especially in the United Kingdom under heavy attack. And Roosevelt focused the responsibility, the idealism of the United States and lifted it to a new level. The United States became responsible under his guidance, and he also stiffened the will of the people. One could say the same for Hitler. He certainly stiffened the will, but he was himself the victim of profound glamours, and he only increased the glamour-prone tendency of Germany with its Pisces personality, so easily impressed, we are told, so vulnerable to impression. I don't know as much about the leaders of Japan, but they were certainly militaristic and resurrected the old samurai spirit, I suppose, without the nobility. So the leader is very important. The fate of the nations lies in the hands of its leaders, usually. Maybe in the future, when there's more group consciousness and less devotion, this will be less the case. This could be seen working out in a demonstrable way in the two great guiding groups of world leaders. The fact that what will be left is either symbols of national intent. Look at the swastika, which is, of course, a superb and important symbol misused. And the will salute with the hand raised, an important first-ray gesture misused. There are symbols by which we still remember Germany at that period. The ideals were there, and also the corruption word of it emerges as one investigated the matter more fully. This could be seen working out in a demonstrable way in the two great guiding groups of world leaders. The three Axis groups of leaders, dominated by the evil German group, he seems to say that they are, the other two were less evil, he is saying, with Italy and Japan fighting at intervals, consciously seldom but unconsciously often, against the evil influence. So the purveyor of glamour, which was Germany at that time, was much more under the influence of the Black Lodge than Italy and Japan. And the second group, the leaders of the Allied cause who represent their nations. And I suppose Russia will have to be thrown in there as well, with not much second ray coming through Stalin, and rather a gray presence in certain respects, but perhaps necessary at that time. Very strong third ray with him, and first ray. The leaders of the Allied causes who represent their nations. No matter what past history may indicate in connection with many of the Allied nations, past aggressions, ancient cruelties and wrongdoing, and the Tibetan certainly is not ignorant of history, nor is any member of the hierarchy, they sought to cooperate with the forces of light. And this is certainly true of Russia in the larger sense. So many Russians feel, and maybe justifiably, that if they had not entered the war, Germany and its allies would have won. So there were cruelties from England, and I suppose from America, and one thinks of the slave trade in that respect. And there are so many horrible stories emerging out of the Russia that was ruled by the Tsars over many hundreds of years, and the keeping down, the suppression of the serfs into near slavery. Nevertheless, they sought to cooperate with the forces of light and endeavored to salvage human freedom, political, religious, and economic. There may have been some reversion in Russia following the war, but Russia worked its way out of that towards a democratic process. And Stalin died in 1953, I believe, so he did not have so long after the war to consolidate his evident state of paranoia. I would also point out in passing that the two major divisions of the world, the Occident and the Orient, are also governed by certain ray energies. You kind of wonder how that happens. Are the rays associated with the land mass in any respect? Or the psyches of the people? How do the rays rule the energy system of the Occident and the Orient? And we see here the importance. Soul ray is the second ray for the Occident, and the personality ray is the fourth. For the Orient, the soul ray is the four, and we can see the immediate connection there between the personality ray of the Occident and the soul ray of the Orient. Perhaps a deep understanding of harmony is there. And the material personality of the Orient through its third ray, but perhaps also through its refined powers of reasoning. What is interesting to see is that today much of the third ray has gone over to the east, and the consciousness of the people there is assuming a new type of materialism, and maybe is more aligned to an extent with the personality of the planetary logos, whereas the soul ray of the Occident is aligned with the soul ray of the planetary logos. So really, I believe, as DK says, occultism is moving to the West. And if there is going to be an emergence for humanity into a better state, it's going to be engineered more in the West than in the East. The East at this time seems to be following the West, although its deep traditions and the sustaining of those traditions are very important. The Taoist tradition in China and the Hinduism, the deep Hinduism in India, and the Buddhist tradition deeply recessed in India and in Tibet. Even Buddhism has moved powerfully to the West, where it seems to have undertaken a more progressive stance or method. The Buddhism of the West is active, really moving forward. Hinduism also, as well. There are so many followers in the West of the spiritual traditions of the East, and so many followers in the East of the more external methods which were developed in the West. There is an interchange here, but I do think that the spiritual fate of humanity at this time rests with what is done with the Eastern spiritual traditions in the West. I would remind you that we are in a period of shifting rays, and that they change for both individuals and nations, for hemispheres and planets. Japan is an interesting one. Japan must be investigated in terms of its personality ray. At the moment, you know, we don't have anything further on it than it is the sixth ray. And its Capricorn quality brings in much of the seventh ray in its personality. He has not analyzed Japan in modern terms, but he seems to be telling us that there will be ray shifts and maybe possibly sign shifts in some of the leading nations, at least in connection with the personality expression. Also sign shifts, we can ask. All can move off a minor ray onto a major if destiny decrees. And we have, you know, certainly in Japan two minor rays presently expressing. In the United States we have one major, one minor. In England we have United Kingdom, two major rays. For Tokyo, two minor rays. For Darjeeling, one major and one minor. 2 and 5, but when it comes to their function as world centers, all have major rays except for the United States, or except for New York, which has a minor ray, the sixth ray. But that may change. That may change as the sixth ray moves out of incarnation. We can wonder here. So what will happen to the sixth ray of the world center, New York, as the sixth ray moves out of incarnation? That is a question. So a study of the above tabulation will give much light to the inter-human relation. And this is how the masters study things. They are not just reacting. They are scientifically using their knowledge of the internal and external qualities to gauge what might be expected and what should be promoted in relation to any continent, nation, world center, or city. Three great countries hold the destiny of humanity in their hands at this time, and the United States of America, Great Britain, and Russia. Notice even at the time that we still had what's called the Soviet Union, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR. DK still talks in terms of Russia, and now the Soviet Union has broken up, and Russia is the main country involved. Great fusing racial experiments are going on in all these lands. The rule of the people is being developed in all of them, though it is, as yet, in an embryonic stage. The rule of the people, generally, this means embryonic democracy. In Russia, it is being retarded by a dictatorship, which will shortly end. And that was 1953. It ended with Stalin's demise. And then came a series of apparent dictators, but they never had the power, and gradually the movement toward democracy developed. With, I suppose, Gorbachev, though not so well liked in Russia at this time, perhaps, making the movement towards democracy possible. So in Russia, it is being retarded at the moment. The rule of the people is being retarded, but increasingly this is now the case, by a dictatorship which will shortly end. I don't think any would-be dictator in Russia could ever assume the kind of power that Stalin once had. In the States, by corrupt politics. And still we have that, where the selfish interests are being served, the solar plexus and lower centers of the nation being served by the politics, and in Great Britain by ancient imperialistic tendencies. The first-ray personality, with so much first-ray coming through Taurus and Vulcan, tends to impose upon others their way. And I suppose the major type of imperialism in the modern age was enacted through Great Britain. But democratic principles are being developed, if not controlling. Religious unity is being established, though it is not yet functioning, and all three countries are learning very rapidly, though the United States at present is learning most slowly. I suppose as the newest and most adolescent of these countries. Whether that has now shifted remains to be seen. Since these books were written, all these nations have passed through very great changes. Maybe Russia has passed through the greatest changes. The Occident and the Orient are linked through the personality ray of the Occident and the egoic ray of the Orient. And this indicates eventual understanding once the second ray, Occidental soul, becomes the dominant factor. I don't think the fourth ray and the third ray, per se, understand each other very well. They're really quite different, but there is the line, the second ray line, through the second ray soul of the Occident, which will blend well with the fourth ray soul of the Orient, and promises much harmonious integration in the Occident, the second and fourth ray often occupying a similar position, the second ray being the central ray of the three rays of aspect, and the fourth ray being the central ray of all seven rays. So when will this secondary soul of the Occident become the dominating factor? This is what is emerging now, and probably under Venus, the majority of human beings will be entering through Aquarius, though also through the opposite decanate, because humanity has become the world disciple, DK tells us, and so will enter in the counterclockwise manner under Saturn as well. It'll be a dual entry, but under Venus at least, the second ray has the chance of showing itself in the Occidental world. I don't think we will have to wait until the third decanate, when, which will be the decanate of brotherly love, strongly under Venus. I think there can be understanding between these two hemispheres before that happens. When these various relationships are somewhat grasped by the peoples of the world, you will get the clue to the various happenings taking place today. We don't want to just look at events as if they are meaningless. They all have a place in the unfolding divine plan. And we'll understand the goal and the method of its attainment more clearly. So these the rays and signs given for the world centers and major national centers, all these rays of nations and world centers and capital cities are important for understanding the divine plan and the manner in which it is to unfold. There is much deep research work to be done, for the science of energy relationships is yet in its infancy, but DK has certainly laid out the lines along which it might be done. We do have to prove the reality of the seven rays. We have to begin interpreting world and national events in terms of these rays. This is hardly yet the case. It is among certain of the intelligentsia who are also spiritually inclined. They can use the rays as an interpretive mechanism when viewing world situation and world conflicts. The next few years we'll see it gain, the science of energy relationships. Really, so much of what we're doing here in discussing esoteric astrology is to try to bring forward the reasonableness of this science of energy relationships and popularize it more extensively and get it to be, help it to become part of the thought of men and women of goodwill and those who work with love and intelligence. What is really happening is the shift of human consciousness from its focus on individual energies functioning through some specific ring pass knot, individual, national, continental, or racial, and usually under Leo, to a grasp of their interrelation and effect upon each other. And this has more to do with Aquarius and Gemini. And we see how prominent Aquarius and Gemini are in at least two of the nations who hold the fate of the world in their hands. And also the second ray emerging through the United States and through the United Kingdom as their soul rays. The second ray is an important ray of interrelation. So we are, in a sense, overcoming the lower Leo effect. Russia, one of the important countries in this triangle, has Leo as its personality ray, or its personality sign, but this will be offset by the effect of its Aquarian soul once that soul really swings into action. So the science of energy relationships, that's what we're talking about always in this particular book. And he will give us now some ways in which this science can be studied. It can be studied, he says, from the angle of antagonisms which seem inevitable and which can be accounted for by ray energies and which can be offset by soul energies rightly employed. We have many religious antagonisms today. And religions probably have their soul and personality rays. So, you know, he has told us of the soul ray of the Catholic Church being the first ray and its personality being the third, and has advised that financial manipulations and the like, which had been the habit of the Church in former days and maybe to an extent today even, has to be offset by the spirit of synthesis coming in through the first ray. It's so interesting that that which represents the Christ or thinks it has almost a monopoly on that representation has no second ray whatsoever in the ray chart as presently presented. What its monadic ray may be, one cannot tell, but it's certainly not functioning monadically, certainly not. So the antagonisms arise, and they seem inevitable. There are tremendous religious antagonisms in the world today. Can the emphasis upon the soul ray of these antagonistic religions somehow bring about a union between them, or at least a mutual tolerance? The sixth ray can become very tolerant once it expresses in a higher manner. It can become inclusive of the many paths. Right now, it doesn't seem to be the case. And we have to remember that soul rays can be appropriated by the personality and misused. The quality will be preserved, but the expression will be strictly that of the separative personality. So we don't, the broad ecumenical movements which were started under the papacy of John the 23rd do not seem as powerful today. We've had those who have followed him and have not placed such an emphasis upon the ecumenism, and certainly in the Islamic faith there is not much movement. Maybe under the Sufis there is, but not much movement towards ecumenism, but more towards a six-ray definition of the exclusive correctness of the faith. The Hebrew faith is rather negligible at this time, all it is the underpinning of both the others. But there are so few Jews in the world and so few that are actually practicing that faith that most of the people who seem very attached to it are of the Orthodox persuasion, and they are very difficult to integrate into the broader picture. But there are national antagonisms as well, and perhaps the Rays are involved in those. That's what he seems to be saying. We can also study the science of energy relationships from the angle of identity of forces, leading inevitably to identity of interests and activities. Well, we saw how the Axis powers had so much of the fourth and sixth ray, and even first ray, when we begin to count the ray associated with Tokyo as a world center. Fourth and sixth were very dominant, fourth, sixth, and first, and so there was a community of interests and activities. When it comes to the air sign rulerships of the souls of Russia, Great Britain, and the United States, we will see another commonality, and with the Great Britain and the United States, and perhaps many of the members of the British Commonwealth, former colonies of Great Britain, we also find that powerful second ray. So here we could recognize the identity of forces leading to the sharing of mutual interests and activities. So far, conflict and identicality, or identity, and also from the angle of fusion, of unity, of visions and goals. The angle of fusion, of unity, of visions and of goals, and this is international cooperation, finding points in common which can allow for cooperative relationship. And I think, you know, with Russia and the United States, there will be this fusion of unity and of vision and of goals through the Aquarian soul sign, not necessarily through the rays of the soul. Through the rays of the soul, we will have the fusion of interest between the United Kingdom and the United States. And probably we could look at different alliances which are going on all over the world. At that time, it seemed that the nations which are now the Arabic nations had not been created. Many of them had not been created or had not emerged. After wars, there are sometimes the creation of nations, and they were not emergent or prominent at this time. Now they are very prominent, and DK would be undertaking an analysis of them in the newer period. China has changed its nature under the revolution, which happened at the very end of DK's writings. There was a great revolution in 1949, and he ended his writings in 1949. So there have been developments on the world stage which really have not been accounted for in these books, and we are looking forward to his perspective on these things when he begins to write again. And also this science of energy relationships can be studied from the angle of humanity as a whole. So conflicts and antagonisms, identicality of interest, cooperation, and then from the entire view of humanity. If it is remembered that humanity is primarily governed by two rays, the second and the fourth, it will be found that those nations and countries whose governing rays are also the second and the fourth must and will play an important part in determining human destiny. So looking at, I don't know of any who have exactly those rays, but looking at one or the other, we have the USA, we have Great Britain, or the UK. We will have, well, Brazil has the second and fourth, or the fourth and second. So in the sixth root race, it will be very important. Brazil, rapidly emerging. China has the first and the third, quite different from the rays of humanity as here given. In other places, there seems to be a hint that that the fourth and fifth rays are the rays of humanity. We might even look and talk about, well, fourth ray humanity. We might see if we can find something immediately. Oh, well, there are so many fourth ray. What about soul? Maybe we have a better chance there if we narrow it down. Okay, humanity, it's particularly the soul ray of humanity that we're looking for. Okay, the fourth ray energy, and this lies the hope of the race of men. Oh, so why doesn't this go? I think we have a little problem here. I think it is pretty evident that the fourth ray is very powerful in relation to humanity. Here we have, it is apparent that the fourth force in the first group ends in separativeness, for five is the number of the mind of man. Number nine, the number of initiation, is hidden. I think we're looking at how he deals with four and force. Interestingly, but the five is left out. In the second group of figures, activity precedes the nine of initiation, and that nine is the culmination, but five is left out. Now, man is no longer really human or separative, because the five was very much associated with him when he was. He is the perfected four of the lower three and the soul. Putting the truth quite simply, let it be borne in mind that mankind, the fourth kingdom, which is the expression of the fourth creative hierarchy, is swept by the instinct or impulse towards harmony and is primarily under the influence of the fourth ray. But apparently the fifth ray was important before, and the swing is towards the second and fourth ray rather than the fourth and fifth ray. This harmony is achieved through the use of the fifth ray of knowledge. Then through gained and applied knowledge, the result is beauty and the power to create. This is the human way of progressing previously. Then the ray of the fifth lord will be withdrawn from the major cycle governing humanity. And wisdom and intuitional Buddhic response will characterize humanity, more the two and the four. There is a close interplay in this major cycle as far as humanity is concerned with the two rays, between the two rays of harmony and of knowledge. So this is where I was gathering the importance of the fourth and fifth ray for humanity. But there seems to be a movement towards the second and the fourth rays. So if it is remembered that humanity is primarily governed by two rays, the second and fourth, and hint as to the fourth and fifth are the rays of humanity, and that hint is found in Esoteric Psychology 1, 346 and 347, in EP 1, 346 and 347, I think we see the evolution, the movement away from the five and towards the four and towards the two. But there is a close interplay in this major cycle as far as humanity is concerned between the two rays of harmony, lords of harmony, and knowledge. But primarily and ultimately, we will have the second and the fourth rays. There's some other places here where it is discussed how important the fourth ray is. It's the preeminent ray for the fourth grade of hierarchy, the human kingdom, and therefore has a peculiar relation to the functions, relationships, and the service of man. Okay, well, this can be studied and this can be researched. The fourth grade of hierarchy will be controlled primarily by the fourth ray. And this will mean the majority of its egos will have fourth-ray personalities. And the consciousness of the advanced units will function normally upon the fourth and Buddhic planes. So the higher parts of the fourth ray are certainly coming in for humanity. So these two rays will also be found in nations, which have an important part in determining human destiny. And the, I think Canada will be involved here, and Australia and New Zealand. These are all the former colonies. And, well, we'd have to do greater research here and just dig up the Italy will be involved with its, I believe, fourth ray personality. And, well, I'll let it go with that. I could look at the different lists and try to find them. Austria, of course, and Germany. And Germany with fourth ray souls. And I know I'm leaving some out, but you can detect these and see which countries they would be that would be of importance, because they somehow resonate with the rays which govern humanity primarily. We can think how important humanity is in the emergence of the second ray soul of our planetary logos, and how important the hierarchy with its predominant second ray and humanity with its predominant fourth ray at this time are how important they are in relation to the emergence of the soul of our planet. Therefore, through five major centers in the planet today, spiritual energy is streaming forth, and according to the vehicle of expression which receives its impact, so will be the reaction and activity, and so will be the type of consciousness interpreting it and using it. Now, he has given at least the soul and personality rays of these five world centers. He has not talked about the vehicles, mental, emotional, and physical, in the various nations, but I assume that he means that certain vehicles of expression in groups of human beings will receive the impact, and so will be the reaction. I think, to a great extent, the astral body of Germany, which must have a strong correlation with his Pisces personality, received the impact of so many of the energies which were released and responded with a great overpowering glamour. The ancient occult truism remains accurate. Consciousness is dependent upon its vehicle for expression, and both are dependent upon life and energy for existence. So if the vehicle of expression deflects, the consciousness will not allow it through or distorts it. Then even if the consciousness is has integrity on higher planes and is wider on higher planes, it will not reach the destination. If you look at the war, it seems that Germany was almost entirely overcome by its first-ray personality and the first-ray soul of its leader, and the destructive first-ray coming through Pisces under Pluto, bringing about a dissolution, and by the first-ray coming through its soul sign. So the fourth-ray soul, which aims at harmony and interrelation and interdependence, harmony following the conflict, did not have a chance, really, to be the prominent ray. Okay. The five cities, which are the exoteric expression of the esoteric center of force, and through which the hierarchy and Shambhala are seeking to work, are the correspondence in the planetary body to the four centers up the spine and the ajna center in the body of humanity and in individual man. So we'd probably want to try to allocate these. Let's see if we can do that in a moment. We have Tokyo, Darjeeling, London, New York, and Geneva. You know, in some ways, it seems that we could, according to their planetary rays, or their rays as world centers, we could say heart center, Geneva, solar plexus, center, New York, perhaps, London, or we might say Ajna Center. And here we might find London, with his strong Libra and fifth ray as well. It may be that Tokyo is the sacral center. And four centers up the spine. Let's see. How many can we count? We can count the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, and the sacral. We cannot count the base of the spine. So this could be maybe not as easy as it looks. Geneva seems correct for the heart center, and its ray 2. New York could be the solar plexus center with its ray 6, but also ray 3 could connect with the throat center. London with its ray 5 could easily be the directing center. Ray 5 soul of London. The sacral center for Tokyo, that's quite possible. I don't think the base of the spine is included yet. But and also Darjeeling. We could work this around in a different way. Darjeeling could be a head center. But these are not here listed. I remember going through this in the International Academy of Esoteric Astrology and many different opinions being put forth, but this head center is not given. So could, there's another way of doing this, of course. we have to find a solar plexus center here. The throat center could easily be ruling New York, but then we would have lower centers, solar plexus and sacral, for Darjeeling. And although the sacral center connected with Tokyo could seem quite strong, it does not seem that we can find a proper lower position for Darjeeling. It would fit most with the head center. It possibly, there's an alternative way of doing this. We could say that Darjeeling, with its fifth ray personality, could be the Ajna center, although it is rather a recessed center. That London would be the throat center. Let's try to make that a little easier. And maybe he tells us what this is going to be. Let's see. And New York, the solar plexus center. Then we could still find the sacral center with Tokyo, if he is counting the sacral center. Geneva is almost certainly the heart center, because that quality of brotherly love is expressed through it. All right, we're moving along. So the four centers up the spine, really there are five centers up the spine, so one of them is being left out. And are we in some way leaving out the sacral center? In which case, you know, we could connect, there's another method. If the sacral center is being included, okay, this is another formulation. Still another. If the sacral center is excluded, then base of spine center could be Darjeeling. Tokyo could be the solar plexus. Let's do it this way. Solar plexus center, Tokyo, because it does have, after all, a sixth-ray soul and a fourth-ray personality. Then heart center, Geneva. Throat center, New York. And Ajna center, London. So this is another possibility. Let's see if he actually gives it to us, or whether we have to figure this thing out by ourselves. So the five cities, which are the exoteric expression of the esoteric center of force through which the hierarchy in Shambhala are seeking to work, see, the world center is esoteric, and the rays coming through it are esoteric. Three first rays, one second, and one sixth. But the cities themselves are more exoteric in their expression and have their own function within their own nation, probably determined by the rays which they present. In all three cases, they are living, vital focal points of dynamic energy to a greater or lesser extent. Now, why are we talking about three cases? Let's see if we can determine that. In all three cases, there are living vital focal points of dynamic energy to a greater or lesser extent. Some predominantly express soul energy, and some personality force, and some are influenced by Shambhala, and some by the hierarchy. I think New York is more influenced by the hierarchy, I would say. New York. Let's see. okay, they are more influenced by the hierarchy. Is it yet expressing its secondary soul? Well, it does on occasion. It is the home of the United Nations, and it did welcome so many immigrants during the early part of the last century and the later part of the century before. There's a Shambhala power coming through London, I would say, and its first ray as an energy center, but its fifth ray soul will also bring in the Shambhala power. Shambhala power through London, and I guess a kind of inverted Shambhala power through Tokyo, and a deeply esoteric Shambhala power through Darjeeling, also a first ray world center, just like Tokyo is, but Darjeeling has a fifth ray which correlates with its first ray as a world center. And if Darjeeling is not bringing in Shambhala, then what is? Now, with Geneva, we have two second rays, one for its function as a world center and a personality ray from Geneva as a city. So let's say hierarchy probably works more through Geneva. Maybe it's as simple as this with regard to world centers. The two world centers that have soft line rays are those through which the hierarchy works, Geneva and New York, and both of them are significant in centers in the United Nations, at least what the United Nations was intended to be. And the other three, London, Darjeeling, and Tokyo, may be dealing more with the Shambhala force, whether positive or negative. The head center of the Occident is beginning to react to second-ray energy, and the Ajna center to fourth-ray energy. And in this lies the hope of the race of men. So the two rays which are, well, let's put it like this, the two rays ruling the Occident are the same two rays which are becoming predominant in humanity as a whole. So we've just read that the second and fourth ray are the important rays they are the important rays when it comes to humanity. Predominant, I think, if I can just find that. Well, you know it was there. You saw it. Here it is, the second and fourth. Okay, the second and fourth. It must be remembered that humanity is governed primarily by two rays, the second and fourth. So if these two rays are in fact the same rays as govern the Occident, the second and fourth, we have a deep resonance here. And in this lies the hope of the world. It says the two rays ruling the Occident are the same two rays which are becoming predominant in humanity as a whole. Not so much the fourth and the fifth anymore, because man is moving out of that separative state towards which the fifth ray on the personality level can incline, but more the second and fourth. So what is the head center of the Occident? I mean, is it a city? Okay. Is the head center of the Occident a city? Is the Ajna center a city? What type of structure are we dealing with? Or are we talking about some kind of continent as a whole? I don't think so, because the centers, there have to be five of them or seven of them. So we will not be able to assign the a particular city to the Occident, although we could search, we could wonder whether on a not on a global scale, but in terms of a hemisphere, whether London could play that role as a head center. It does have a powerful first ray coming through it, and also a fifth and a seventh ray, hard line rays. And we could ask, could London play the role of the head center of the Occident? And what about the Ajna Center for the directing of energy? With New York, we have the sixth, the second, and third rays. I don't necessarily see New York playing that role. So we can ponder on this and see if it is true that a city will represent the chakras of such a grouping as the Occident or the Orient. We would have to look for those particular cities, and maybe we will find them in the cities that have already been listed as important planetary outlets or as inlets or as capital cities. All right, we're into the area of sort of a political national rheology here, kind of an extension of the destiny of the nations, and also it's a section still on the science of triangles. So this will be the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 134B, and we are on page 5, about page 528, I think. Let's see if we can find 527. Well, maybe not. 526 and perhaps 527. Let's see if we can find 527. Yes, that is where we are. And we're now on page 528. All right, very good. And continuing on page 528. So this is page 528. And beginning here of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 134C, page 528.